Well, good morning. It is good to be back in Cornerstone. My name's Matt. I typically preach in here, but I've been gone the last couple of weeks. The first week, I was on vacation with my family down on the panhandle of Florida. It was an awesome week. I'm not going to talk a lot about that trip. If you want to know what I think about the panhandle of Florida, I talked a lot about it a couple of weeks ago in our sermon series, Riptide. You can check that out. And then last week, our second week that we were gone, our family was in East Texas at a family camp at Pine Cove. Day five of family camp, we finally got to the event that I had been waiting for. Okay, now, there's a lot of great stuff before that. I rode a horse for the first time. Okay, 38 years old. I've lived in Texas for 10 years. Went ahead and checked that off the list. Okay, we did the zip line. We did a bunch of really great stuff. But day five, we finally got to what I really wanted to get to. 2 o'clock, we went and checked Boyd out of his activities. He's our 7-year-old. We left our 3-year-old and our 2-year-old in their activities. And my wife, Amy, and I, we went with Boyd down to the boat dock. We got on a boat. We went out in the boat. And then Boyd and I got in the water. Amy stayed on the boat to supervise the boat driver. His name was Tacklebox, okay? So she supervised Tacklebox. And Boyd and I got on a banana boat, okay? You know what a banana boat is? Okay. If you know what a banana boat, this is a banana boat, okay? Now, this is the most iconic picture of a banana boat that has ever existed, okay? This banana boat here, you sit on it, and then you're pulled by a ski boat, and the goal is to get knocked off the banana boat. So Boyd and I get on the back of the banana boat, and then another family gets on the front of the banana boat. It's a mother, a father, and a teenage daughter. Okay, we all get on the banana boat. We're going around. I'm on the back. It's not that much fun. Like, we don't really, like, not going that fast or whatever. But the guy in the front is bouncing really high. The front of the banana boat is totally different than the back of the banana boat. And finally, the banana boat tips over, and it's like, okay, finally, like here we go. Like, this is what I came for. We're in the water, and then the other two parents look at me and they say, look, next time this banana boat flips over, we're getting back on the boat. We're done with the banana boat. So we get back on the banana boat, we ride a little bit more, and the banana boat, it flips over again, okay? So Boyd and I go to get back on the banana boat, and this mother and this father, they go back and they get on the boat. So we're floating in the water. Now it's just me, Boyd, and their teenage daughter. And I'm not even kidding you. I'm sitting there floating in there, bobbing up and down in my life jacket, and this is what runs through my mind. Finally, it's just the kids. Now we can have fun. It takes me about 90 seconds. I am back on the banana boat before I realize I am no longer a child here, okay? I tell you all of that to tell you this. Life with God is kind of like being on a banana boat. I'm just totally kidding. That would be so cheesy, okay? I just want to tell you that story because it's kind of fun. Here's what I really want to tell you this morning. There's something that happened at camp this week that's really beginning to impact the way that I'm looking at my relationship with God. And in fact, this week, I feel like God is really leaning into me and teaching me something. And this morning, I simply want to share with you what it is that I feel like God is teaching me right now. And I think that this is going to be applicable to some of your lives also. Because what God is teaching me right now is that I need to be less afraid. In particular, that I need to be less of a coward. That I need to be more bold. So if you're sitting here this morning and you got a decision that you've got to make, whether it be professionally or personally, and you're sitting there and you're thinking, I just feel like I need a little bit more courage. I don't really want to admit this. I wouldn't say this out loud. But I think that I might be a bit of a coward. If you're sitting here this morning and you're thinking, I need more courage, then we're in the same boat. And I want to share with you this morning how God is challenging me. And how God is not only convicting me that I might be a coward, but he's also challenging me and strengthening me so that maybe I could be a little bit more bold. My prayer for you this morning is that maybe this will encourage you also. Let me pray for us. God, as we step into this message, Lord, I pray that you, by the power of your Holy Spirit, will be with us. That you'll guide our conversation, Lord, and that you will use the time that we have together, Lord, to speak some truth to us and to help us know how it is that we can be a little bit more bold. Lord, we know that you give us a spirit, Lord, of strength and of discipline and not a spirit of fear. So, Lord, won't you allow this time that we have this morning to strengthen us in that way? Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts, may they be pleasing to you, O Lord. You're our rock and our redeemer. We pray these things in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. At family camp, a couple of the nights you get together with your kids and you worship together. It's called a club. And at the end of that time, you sing, meaningful songs, the same kind of songs that we sing here. But at the beginning of that time, you sing fun songs, songs that are designed for the kids and the counselors go crazy and all those things. And one of those songs has been stuck in my head ever since Sunday night of camp, okay? It's been in my head for 7 days now. So my main goal this morning is to show you some scripture and to help strengthen you and all of those things. But my secondary goal is to get this song stuck in your head also. Okay? So I asked my friend Chris. Chris, are you back there? Chris is going to come on out here. Can y'all give it up for Chris? And Chris is going to teach you the chorus of this song. Okay? Now, I didn't tell Chris that we were going to do this until about 45 minutes ago. So Chris had to learn this song pretty quickly. Chris, was this a difficult song to learn?
It was really difficult.
It was really hard. Have you ever learned a harder song?
No, probably not.
Okay, so Chris is going to sing this song one time through, and then I'm going to have the real burden here, and that is that I'm going to teach you the hand motions, okay? All right, so you're going to have lyrics here, you're going to have him singing there, and you're going to have hand motions here. We're going to teach it to you once, and then we're going to sing it through twice. Are you ready? Chris, are you ready?
I'm ready.
Okay, here we go.
I just want to be a sheep, ba-ba-ba. I just want to be a sheep, ba-ba-ba. I pray the Lord my soul to keep.
I just want to be a sheep,
ba-ba-ba. I just want to be a sheep,
ba-ba-ba.
I just want to be a sheep,
ba-ba-ba.
I
can see you.
I pray the Lord my soul to keep.
I just want to be a sheep, ba-ba-ba-ba.
One more time.
I just want to be a sheep,
ba-ba-ba-ba.
I just want to be a sheep, ba-ba-ba-ba. I pray the Lord my soul to keep.
I just want to be a sheep, ba-ba-ba-ba.
All right. Thank you, Chris. The balcony thinks I'm a TV and thinks that I can't see you. I can see you. I know if you're doing this. Okay. Hey, that song has been stuck in my head ever since last Sunday. There are other parts to it, but that line in particular, last night I was walking around the house and I started humming it. And Amy said, you have got to stop doing that. But here's what I caught myself doing. I caught myself doing this during the week, but I caught myself doing this again last night. When I sing the song, I'm not sure exactly why this is happening. But when I sing it, I don't sing, I just want to be a sheep. I'm not kidding when I tell you this. I've caught myself on multiple occasions singing, I don't want to be a sheep, ba, 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 ba. I don't want to be a sheep, ba, 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 ba. And I caught myself the first few times and I thought, well, the other lines, like you sing, I don't want to be a Pharisee or I don't want to be a... I actually think there might be something deeper here. There might be something Freudian here. I'm walking around, and what I sing over and over again is, I don't want to be a sheep. And if I'm honest with you this morning, that's more true to where my heart is than what we're teaching our kids. I mean, look, it's more instinctive. It's more commonsensical. The truth is that I don't really want to be a sheep. What's a sheep known for? A sheep is known for following. And if I'm honest with you this morning, I don't really want to be a sheep. If I was singing a song, I would write, I want to be in charge. Charge, 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 charge. Right? I want to be in control. Control, control, control. I don't want to be a sheep. I want to be the person up front. I want to be the lead. The last thing that I want to be known for is for being a sheep. And just last night and this morning, as I was reflecting on what I would share with you this morning, coming back from camp, just last night and this morning, I began to put two things together. And my little slip when I'm singing this song, I don't want to be a sheep, is intimately connected to what God has been saying to me over the last week. And that is that in many areas of my life, I'm a coward. The fact that I am driven by fear, and I am driven by a desire to be in control and to not be a sheep, are intimately connected to each other. I'm going to show you a passage this morning. It's short, 6 verses. It's a passage that you probably know. But it's a passage that maybe you haven't looked at in the way that I'm going to show you this morning. I want to show you one thing that occurs over and over again in one of the most famous passages in the Bible. In fact, it is likely our second most popular prayer. The first most popular prayer is one we're going to pray in a few minutes. It's the Lord's Prayer. The second most popular prayer goes something like this. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in right paths for his namesake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil because you're with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. We're in this series called Unsubscribe. And what I want to suggest to you this morning is that this is the week for some of you to do what I'm trying to do and to unsubscribe to being a coward. Okay. Psalm 23. One of the first things it says is, I shall not want. David makes this bold, profound statement right at the beginning of the 23rd Psalm, and he says, I shall not want. Now, how can you make a statement that bold? I mean, there are very few of us in here that could say that with confidence, that there's nothing that I want. There's nothing that I'm going after. There's nothing that I want. Well, that's not all that he says. He says, I shall not want because he makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in right paths for his namesake. Or put more succinctly, why does David not want? Because the Lord is his shepherd. He doesn't want, not because he has a degree of self-discipline that most of us don't have. It's not that he doesn't want because he's more righteous than everybody else. It's not that he doesn't want because he has somehow worked his way into a place where he no longer desires anything. He simply doesn't want because he has a shepherd who provides these things. David says, I am who I am, somebody who doesn't want, because of who God is. He's the shepherd. What other big, bold claim does David make? He says, I fear no evil. And it's not that he doesn't think that evil exists. It's not that he fears no evil because he believes that there is no evil out there. David is very aware of the evils of the world. In fact, he says, even though I walk through the darkest valley, it can also be translated the valley of the shadow of death, he understands how dark the world can be. He's aware of the same thing that you're aware of how hard life can be. But he says, even in the midst of that, I fear no evil. Is that because he somehow is braver than you? Is it because he somehow is stronger than you? How is it that he doesn't fear when you fear? Well, it's because he knows that God is with him, and his rod and his staff, they comfort him. David doesn't say, I am somehow more courageous than you are. He simply says, I fear no evil because I know that God is with me. I am who I am because of who he is. And then finally, what's the last big, bold claim that David makes? The very last line. And I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Because I earned my spot there. Because I deserve it, because I'm a great king, because I somehow was given this right just simply by my birth. No. I'll dwell in the house of the Lord forever because you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies, because you anoint my head with oil, because my cup overflows, and then even more directly and more succinctly, I will dwell in the house of the Lord. Why? Because your goodness and your mercy follow me all the days of my life. I dwell in the house of the Lord. I have that assurance that God is with me now and in the afterlife. I have that assurance not because of anything that I have done, but because you have pursued me. Three things. You see that? I don't want. I don't fear. And I have the assurance that I will dwell with God forever, not because of what I have done, but because of who God is. There are lots of things that you can draw out of Psalm 23, but here's one and the bottom line for this morning, and what God has really been speaking to me this week, is that I am who I am because of who God is. I cannot want and not get caught up in the rat race that everybody else gets caught up in. Not because I'm better than anybody else or because I work really hard at it, but because I believe that God is the shepherd who provides for my needs. I cannot fear, not because I'm bold and courageous, but because he is with me. I can rest in the assurance that I'll dwell in the house of the Lord forever, not because I've earned it, but because Jesus earned it and he chases after me. This week, Boyd was really proud because he jumped off the high dive. And I was proud of him too. And we were walking back, and I thought this is a good teachable moment. And I said, Boyd, I'm proud of you for having courage. And he said, thank you. I said, Boyd, do you know what it means to be courageous, to have courage? And he said, yeah. He said, it means that you're scared, but you do it anyway. Which I was both parts proud and also disappointed because I wanted to teach him that. Somebody else had already taught him that. But of course, what it means to be courageous is not to not have fear. What it means to be courageous is to be in the face of fear and to move forward anyway. And what I'm finding to be true for my life is that the times when I am too afraid to move forward are also the times when I am trying to lead the way myself. When I'm trying to run point. When I want to be the one that's in charge. When I want to be the one that saves my family or the one that saves the church or that saves the relationship. When I'm out front, when I'm on point, is when I end up cowering and caving under the pressure. You know, we talk a lot about the first 15. Certainly the first 15 minutes of your day in prayer and scripture. And sometimes we think that, you know, that's just the right thing to do or it's the more. No. It's not about that. It's about starting those first 15 minutes allowing God to lead you so that he's on point and not you. See, for me, my desire to not be a sheep is the number one reason that I end up being a coward. Because when I'm out front on my own, I can't stand the pressure. Because I can't do it on my own. I'll wrap up with another word picture that I kind of want to get in your minds. Our sons and our daughter, they spend a lot of time on the trampoline out back. In the storm a few weeks ago, a branch fell through the net of the trampoline and broke the net on the trampoline. The trampoline itself wasn't damaged, just the net. So that leaves Amy and I with three choices. We can get rid of the trampoline, which we're not going to do because it's the number one activity they love in the backyard, and we need them in the backyard at least a few hours a day, right? Okay. Get rid of the trampoline. Number two would be to order more parts to replace the net. Okay. Number three would be to get rid of the net and just have a trampoline like I had when I was growing up. Hey, here's a popular thing for people my age to say, particularly men. When we were kids, we didn't have a net around the trampoline, you know, and we were fine. We were crazier on the trampoline than they were, and, you know, we survived. We say that kind of stuff all the time in the backyard at barbecues, okay, all the time. The risk of offending my peers, my boys are way more wild on that trampoline than I was. Not despite the net, but because of the net. You see, when me and my friends were jumping on the trampoline, when my brother and I were jumping on the trampoline, we lived in fear of the ground, a healthy fear of it. We lived in fear of one leg going on one side of a spring and another leg going on the other side of the spring. We lived in a healthy fear of that. When I'm jumping with my boys, they hit that net at a million miles an hour dozens of times every time we jump with no fear of the ground and no fear of the springs at all. They are way more wide open. They are way more wild with each other and by themselves in that trampoline than we were without the net. Why? Because of the net. Because they know we can go all out and the net will be there to save us. You see, I like to think that I'm better off if I'm out there in life on my own. That somehow I'm more of a man, that somehow I'm more of an adult, if I'm out there by myself leading the way without the crutch of my Christian faith. But it's a lie. I'm actually more of an adult. I'm more of a man. I'm making more of an impact in the world when I'm up 15 minutes earlier, allowing him to blaze the trail. Because then I know that I can be more free, that I can be more wild, that I can be more bold, that I can be more courageous, because I know that he will meet my needs, because I know that I have nothing to fear, and because I know that ultimately I'm going to dwell in the house of the Lord forever. See, a life with God actually kind of is like riding a banana boat. Boy and I were riding on the banana boat, and we fell off that thing at least a half dozen times. A tackle box was driving, like I said, and I yelled at least 15 times, "Let her rip, tackle box!" I was entertained by that. Everybody else was annoyed by it, okay? But we knew that we could let tackle box go because we fell off over and over again. But every time we fell off, as soon as my head came up out of the water, what's the first thing I did? I found Boyd. And every time his head came up out of the water, what's the first thing he did? He found me. And we'd look at each other and we'd smile. And he wasn't afraid of falling off the banana boat because he knew that his dad would be there every time to help him to get back on it. Don't believe the lie that life is best lived, that what it means to be a man or a woman or an adult is to be out there on your own. Life is best lived as a sheep who follows the shepherd that will always be there to catch us when we fall, to meet our needs, to lead us through the valley of the shadow of death and ultimately into his house forever. I'm working hard to unsubscribe to being a coward. And what the Lord is teaching me this week is that the number one way for me to unsubscribe to that fear is not by fighting fear head on, but by following after the good shepherd and trusting that he'll lead me. So all I want to do this week is invite you to unsubscribe to that also. We're going to take a few minutes and receive communion together. So as you prepare to come forward, will you just be honest with God about that area in your life where you feel like you're a coward? And will you just simply pray this prayer? God, I can't fight that battle. Will you fight that battle for me? And will you give me the courage to follow after you? So you prepare to receive. And after you've received, just pray that prayer and see what God does with it. Let us pray together. God, thank you for this time that we've had together. And I pray that you, by the power of your Holy Spirit, will be with us. As we turn now to receive communion together, God, I pray that you will speak to us just individually during this time. And for each man this year, each woman, each teenager, each kid, Lord, that you will show each of us how it is that you're challenging us, what it is that you want to teach us. Lord, help us to know that who we are is defined by who you are, and that we don't have to fear, not because we're brave, but because you are the good shepherd that will lead us through anything. We pray these things in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.